I thought for a while it was coming from the gay pride parade. The people who are affected by the Calgary floods recall how unsettling it is to have their homes, their pets, their belongings taken away so abruptly by this recent flood. And what makes it so unsettling, they said, is that the weather is not something that we can control. And that brings me to this question. Have you ever wondered why we find the experience of being out of control to be so unsettling? Whether it is flood or fire, whether it is illness or the sudden death of a loved one or a loss of a job, or even just the experience of losing things like your car keys or your cell phone or cash. All kinds of things that unsettle our plans and take control away from us. That is deeply troubling to most people. Maybe that's why we work so hard to keep control of those things that appear to be within our control. And maybe to move to this Sunday's gospel reading from Luke, this explains why some of the reactions of people when they heard that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to hang on the cross. There are three sets of reactions that this writer in the Gospel of Luke found interesting. And I'll share with you what those three are. The reactions of the Samaritans, the reaction of the disciples, and the reaction of the would-be disciples or followers of Jesus. Let's start with the first one, the Samaritans. They recognize that the text says, Jesus has set his face on Jerusalem. And they decided that because of that, they're not going to welcome him. They're not going to give him a place to stay that night. They recognize that Jesus is a man on a mission, and this time around, they want nothing to do with him. Or perhaps they believe that Jesus is so sad that he will not have no time for them anymore, and no time to discuss, no time to heal their sick, or whatever it is that they hope that he would do during that visit. In either case, there were expectations that he was not meeting because he was so focused on his call and his destiny in Jerusalem. So it upset the Samaritans and they rejected him. That is the first piece. The second piece is because of that, the disciples have another interesting reaction. They ask Jesus, would you like us to pray and bring down fire on these guys who are very unhospitable and very mean to us? And then Jesus said, no, let's go. And they just moved on. They also do not like anything that upset their plans. They were there to see that Jesus made it to Jerusalem. And anyone who stands in their way, like these Samaritans, the apostles would say, then they can just go where you know where. The disciples were feeling that they too were no longer in control. The third piece, and there's a third piece to it, are those who want to follow Jesus. They too have other plans as well. The story says, yes, they follow Jesus as soon as they have buried their loved ones or have made the appropriate farewells to their family. Only then can they follow. And who can blame them? Because those seem to be fairly reasonable requests. It's like saying, yes, I'll follow you, but not just yet. Let's talk after the long weekend. Because I've already made plans for this weekend. When Jesus expects them, in other words, Jesus expects us, to drop all the plans and follow him. Why? Because he was convinced then, as he is now, that the mission of God is more important than anything else. Because in Jesus' book, anybody who can't see that, who can't see enough to allow their plans and their projects and hopes and dreams to be upset, they don't have what it takes to be a disciple. That is what the gospel reading is challenging us today. All of which brings us
to that unsettling question. What does it mean to be a disciple? Not just a churchgoer, not just a member of a congregation, not just a fan of Jesus, but a follower. Because Jesus is not inviting us to become fans. Jesus wants followers. What difference does faith make in life? Does the grace or the forgiveness or the love of God that is made known in Jesus, does that have the power to shape one's life? Or are people today shaping their faith or their image of God to fit the lives that they've already planned? To fit what they believe? If we're honest, we will admit that we all have, me included, a deep-seated desire to be the ones in control, to maintain that semblance of order in a very chaotic and sometimes very confusing world. Jesus in the story is clearly not willing to concede on this one. What Jesus is saying and demanding is that we put aside what we have in mind, even when they appear to be reasonable by human standards, like bearing a loved one, and put God first. And why, you might say, why is that? My guess is because Jesus wants to free us from the illusion that we are in control. Because many times, we really think we're in control until something uninvited comes into our life and threatens our security and our loved ones and our precious possessions. And then the light bulb turns on. And then we realize what is true is that we really and clearly are not in control. The illusion of control is shattered by a tornado that comes and wipes everything out. An illness that threatens life with death, or loss, or tragedy, or any one of 100 other things and curveballs that life throws at us, that will dash our hopes as well as our plans, and sometimes are so powerful they will bring us down to our knees. And as tempting and as pious it seems, we can always say that God is in control. But even that can be challenged by life events that show up with no apparent reason. And so the story, in my view, is not a choice between being in control or letting God be in control. That, I think, is a false choice. Think about it this way. Jesus does not go to Jerusalem to assume command and to take control. Rather, he goes to Jerusalem to put himself fully into his destiny and completely face the fact that reality itself is out of control. And trust that all will be well and he's going to come out whole on the other side. So perhaps that is the promise of the gospel that we can stand on. Not that we can be in control, not that God is in control, but rather that our God in Jesus joins us in this out-of-control life. God holds on to us. God brings us to the other side. God does not prevent the pain. He does not take away the cross. He does not take away Jerusalem, but carries us through it. And that may not sound as much of a promise. I'm not sure that will offer much comfort to our friends in Calgary, some of whom are not yet back in their homes, and some of whom are saying they're not going back to their homes, and they plan to live somewhere else. What is enlightening sometimes, to me at least, is to talk to people who are just starting on chemo, and how that journey would take them. Those who are told that they only have a few years to live. Those who have lost a loved one through illness and accident. Those battling with a mental illness or addiction that they cannot seem to shake off. And try to understand what it's like when life itself rejects all our efforts to put it in control. And then look around us. How we trust, but sorry, we get dinged now and again by life. And the world continues to be unsettling. And yet there is also a saying that in every cloud there is always a silver lining. Just when we think that things are getting worse, they are actually getting better. What if? What if our deepest calling as followers of Jesus is not to be in control? What if our call is not to do it ourselves, but actually to let God do it for us? What if our calling was to work on all of our illusions, including this big one, the illusion of being in control, being able to let go of this need, giving it up, starting to take some risk, and then fearlessly and fiercely throw ourselves into the turbulence of life and into this messy world that God so loves, and then to trust that the God that we pray to, as we pray to now, that God will be our companion, and that God will always be with us in our adventure, and God will have our back for all the many ups and downs, and God will bring us home to the other side. Maybe, just maybe, that is what Christian faith is about. And when we, like Jesus' first followers, fall short again and again, we say thank you that Jesus this morning, according to the story, sets his face to go to Jerusalem. What if that is the word of God for us today? It is get real. Get on with it. Face it. Set your face on Jerusalem, whatever that may be. Perhaps it's your career, or it's a relationship. It's whatever it is that you took birth for. The other way that that is said in the gospel, using the agricultural image of Israel and Palestine at the time, is when Jesus said, put your hands on the plow and don't look back. That is how the story puts it. God is saying, go ahead. Take on the turbulence. Walk bravely into the storm. Look at life fearlessly. Stand up and say to life, bring it on. To face life full on with no illusions about it needing to be the way we want it to go. Aware that God is with us. And nothing and absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in us. On this long weekend, that will be something that we all need to sit with, even for a little while. And just a little while more. Amen. Let us pray with joy for the gift of Spirit. Together let us pray for the well-being of the church, the world, and all in need. God, in your mercy.
Amen.
We thank you for the wonder of this day, O God, this beautiful summer day. For the gifts of amazement and the gift of challenge. For all the people around us whose lives have been changed by your power that is alive in us, God, in your mercy.
Yeah.
We pray for the earth, through whose creatures we see your love and whose winds we remember the coming of your Spirit. We thank you, God, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Just as a 2-year-old died inside a car in Milton earlier in the week, just this Thursday, another 2.5-year-old girl was found in Markham, locked inside a car. Still alive, even today. For all of these, we pray to you, O God. God, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Make us grateful for all of the experiences. Jesus went to Jerusalem to give his own life for the life of the world. As the body of Christ, let us give our lives to each other and share the gifts that we have received.